accepted. I'm a sex symbol. I'm a sex symbol. And as me walking into my sex symbolness, I'd like for you guys to acknowledge it a little bit more. That would make me feel better.
Oh, okay.
Don't giggle. I'm serious.
I'm not giggling. That was
you didn't laugh. That was a man laugh.
That was more of a chuckle. I have not heard that before. But
you've never heard that I'm a sex symbol.
That does not mean the
you're
streets
not
aren't talking.
Yeah, you're not listening to the right place.
I mean, I'm not in the streets.
Yeah, team, turn your ear into the right place.
My ear is not to the streets, to be honest.
No, like well,
so.
You know, there's different types of streets. The right streets are saying John's a sex symbol now.
I'm just saying I haven't heard it in any streets. But that doesn't mean it's not being said.
Oh, no, it's being said. Right. Like, I know it's being said. Like, the women are telling me I'm a sex symbol.
I feel you.
And once y'all acknowledge that, we can go forward as a team of sex symbol men.
It sounds like B2K, which I do not want to be.
But they was getting, like, fucked in their ass. So we can't, that's not, like, you can't, like, do that. They was getting... Well, we can't say that.
I'm only here for the energy, bro. Can you please pass me the alcohol, please?
No problem. Yeah. Okay, we can't say that. Fine, whatever. Be safe. I was just saying, I don't want to be those guys. Even though that's okay. Well, okay, whatever. Sure.
Just pass me a cup as well, please. Because I was about to drink out the bottle, but it's not that type of time.
Yeah, listen, I'm just saying. I think, why don't dudes like compliment their guy friends?
Because
hey, bro, you look great today. Like, what's wrong with that?
Because, to be honest, because women perpetuate toxic masculinity, so that's kind of why.
You think, listen, women are awful, but you think, like...
That women can directly contribute to toxic masculinity? Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious, bro. Is the sky blue? Is 1 plus 1 equal 2? Yes. Do you think that us complimenting each other would make women, like, ugh?
It'll make everyone
What? Okay, that's self-hate.
So that's not self-hate.
I'll see my therapist. Oh, man. Shout out to Charles.
You look good in those True Religion jeans, John. Like,
first of all, don't hang out with me. What the first of all, watch my. I have not. I don't wear True Religion jeans. Like, where you
fuck?
At? First of all,
you want me to say, nigga, what the fuck? Yo, you in that polo, man. You pulling that polo off, nigga. Like,
yo, well, I'm a lot flyer than what you're saying. Like, that's enough is that. And that's enough is enough of that. Not going to assassinate my fashion character. That's what you're not about to do. Nah, polo assassination and True Religion jeans.
Nah, that's...
I'll be like, yo, Walt, you look good today, man. Look great.
And I'm immediately filing a case against you because I'm immediately uncomfortable. So, workplace harassment. I can't say that.
That's self-hate. That's self-hate,
it's not
man.
Self-hate.
That's self-hate.
I just don't need compliments from my niggas. Like...
But who are you gonna say? You think because you're gonna only get a compliment from these women, or they're gonna play a game till you can't get a compliment?
Oh no, these women are lying to me and you and everyone else as well.
No,
but...
I'm a sex symbol. They're telling me the truth.
No,
they're telling me the truth.
Okay,
they say, yeah, John, you're a sex symbol. Yes.
Okay, but they have also lied to you about 10 other things.
Yeah, I mean, duh. But you expect women to tell the truth? When has that happened?
I understand that, but
when has that happened? Let's be serious here. Man, play the intro because I'm upset now.
Please, and you're not a sex symbol. I don't know who told you that. But it was definitely a woman, and she was definitely lying.
I'll go through my phone. It was just my birthday.
Okay, so the 98% of the time women lie
is on my birthday.
The 2% has to be you. Got it. They definitely lied to you on your birthday. That's where all women lie to you. It's on your birthday.
Oh, mad women.
The fuck?
No, bro, I got so...
I was thinking about you, you know. I like, they
were.
You never
he
think about
me.
You
not thinking it's about me.
364 more days in the year. You don't ever think about
Yo,
me.
Yo, bro, I had a girl text me and say, oh, shit. I hope your birthday didn't pass. Thinking that it didn't pass so she could get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, because my calendar's fucking me up. She thought she was like cute, like, oh, I got this nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I texted, I said, young lady, it was 2 days ago.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I said, it was 2 days ago. She said, oh my God, happy birthday. Like, let me take you out. So I said, you are never hearing from me again.
I understand that.
I got a couple secret files of me with a sparkler that y'all never see.
No, I saw the video. It was disgusting. What the fuck? This nigga was at dinner holding a sparkler, smiling like.
Yo, what you doing? Come on.
Like the nigga in the section bought him 1942 for the first time.
Yo, come on.
Nigga had the sparkler, a single sparkler in his
hand. Yo, come on. Yeah, I'm a sex symbol.
Nigga like Ruby Rose, bro.
Yo, come on. I'm a sex symbol.
Okay, I am. That is the that is
say
the,
no say it though yeah
I'm not saying that.
Well, you're not comfortable with yourself.
That's okay.
What?
That is okay. I'm not comfortable enough to say that.
Oh my god! Welcome to episode 98. Wow, 98.
Wow.
Episode 98 of the Imaginary Plays podcast. Me, the one, Mr. Full Disclosure, aka Big John from the East Side Boys, aka John 326, aka Dougie Man. I'm here with the King of Fonto, Walter Joel Osteen Ablo West Kardashian.
Uh huh.
And yeah, we're at episode 98. It's just us two today. It's the fellas. Walt, how you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm still feeling uncomfortable from that last conversation. Don't ever say
you shouldn't, bro.
Don't ever say that.
You shouldn't, bro.
That I look good again, please.
I think you look great.
I know. I look good. Yes.
Okay. So
I just don't need to hear from my niggas, bro.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm gonna tell all my homies, yo, y'all think y'all killing that fit today, bro?
Go for it, bro.
I'm gonna tell you every day now.
Black love, man.
I didn't mean like that. That's
black boy joy, bro.
You're a fucking loser.
That's you, nigga.
You're a fucking loser.
You look good in that.
Who says that?
In that graphic tee and that dad hat.
Yeah, that's like when the you see the young black kid hang out with the older black guy. It's like, yes. Old black boy, nigga, why are y'all hanging out together? Move.
It's weird, but I was recovering. We had a pretty intense, pretty draining, but fun as fuck weekend. I realized that fun for me at now 27 is not the same concept of fun for me as 22 or 21.
100%.
Different concept of fun, but mm-hmm. Great weekend. It dead ass took me like, today's fucking Friday. It took me an entire week to recover. I didn't do no shit at work today. All this weekend, niggas mad, emails I didn't answer. But fuck it, we here, we up. I'm alive, blessed, breathing.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Good. Definitely have to just adjust what, especially like transitioning from the pandemic to outside. Definitely have to adjust our game plan there. I mean,
100%.
Listen, the out till 3 a.m. I already said that's out the window. I physically can't do that anymore. But even the daytime stuff, I'm like, damn, I gotta cut that out. Might even have to cut that a little short.
Hip.
Damn, because my body was in pain. But, you know, nonetheless, we're blessed. Had a cool weekend. Had a cool birthday. You know what I mean? It was cool. So, yeah. Thank you guys for popping out. You know, I had a cool time. But mm-hmm. Definitely got to readjust that. I hit a mental wall, I felt like, when I got back. I took the next 2 days off. I
feel you.
Just because I was like, yeah, I'm just not feeling myself. You know, We're recording on a Thursday. We've been recording on Wednesdays. See ourselves a couple of days, but I'm like, hey, neither one of us are feeling it on a Wednesday. And hey, this whole concept is based off of how we feel. So let's get this done on Thursday. So yeah, you know, but I definitely feel your sentiments of like, hey, definitely got to make an adjustment. Especially trying to come out the pandemic first time out, like, Paul, hard, like, yeah.
Niggas gonna pull some hammies, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We gotta slow ourselves into this.
Yeah.
But also, we're vets. We've been doing this a while. We're vets. So we will slowly but surely find our moments. But yeah, so yeah, we had a cool weekend. I'm supposed to get this out in the beginning. Thank you to our listeners, subscribers, all our constant fans. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Episode 98, we are very, very close to episode 100. We do have something special planned for episode 100. And follow us, IMG Players on Twitter, Imaginary Players NYC on Instagram. Anything else is false, fabricated, and not in association with Imaginary Players. So please go do that as we gear towards episode 100. And thank you guys for continuously being on this ride with us.
Facts.
So,
and I'm going to shout out
yes.
Jordan and Tyler and yes. Ray and
yep.
everybody who has played a part in this. We are almost at a milestone mm-hmm. in this shit. And we would not have been able to do it without your contribution, your energy, your jokes. So we love you. We appreciate that. And we are here now.
Yeah. you know, I speak to Tyler and Jordan every day. They are missing you guys. Jordan is knee deep in fatherhood. He is very happy and tired, but he's happy. He can't wait to get back. Tyler can't wait to get back. So yeah, but we're gonna rock this thing. We're gonna rock out to hold the homies down until we can. You feel me? So let's get. Let me get this. Let me get some maintenance. No, I wouldn't say maintenance is the wrong word, but let me get some cleaning up out of the way, because there are some things last episode that we have to talk about. Well, not necessarily, but we have to talk about. So, of course, first thing that says, hey, last episode was only an hour. I said, well, so I will, not that we have to apologize for how long we podcast for, but if you guys are used to the long form content, so I will take that on my jacket. So we plan to do an out-of-state episode in Washington, D.C., but my time management was off, you know, in terms of getting there, in terms of, you know, getting everything set up, you know, timing was off. So we recorded really, really late on a Thursday night to put it out Friday morning for you guys. So the hour episode was, you know, that's on my jacket of just me mismanaging the time of, you know, showing up, getting things set up, getting things together. That's one. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, we get there, we start to celebrate, we kind of want to get back to it, you know, which also, which in case turn into us not speaking properly on the things that we seem to dive deeply into in terms of, you know, the seriousness of what was going on in the world at the time. So it kind of came off insensitive to me as I'm listening back to it. So when I got that feedback, it wasn't something that I was surprised about. But thank God we do this podcast every week and I can take accountability and apologize for us seeming like we're glossing over serious topics that needed to be more so spoken about in length. Okay, so last episode, between last episode and the and our episode now, it's been a lot of violence, a lot of unnecessary violence, and a lot of race-based violence. Okay, first and foremost, I want to go back and more so touch on the attack on the Asian community in Atlanta. I said episode before, didn't do a good job of speaking on it. I did not do a good job of expressing the pain and the hurt that our brothers and sisters in the Asian community are feeling. First and foremost, I would like to say, just on behalf of all of us, that we stand with you. We love you all, and that we are in support of protecting not just all communities, but your community in particular as well, because especially during a time where you guys have been unfairly crucified for a pandemic is unbelievable and it's disgusting. Last week I touched on this being a white supremacist act, and there has been constant, beyond this incident, there's been constant hate directed towards the Asian community, and there has been a lack of support, and it's not fair. It's not justified. And what we need to do is the same way we stand with every any social justice movement, this should be no different.
Mm-hmm.
And accountability is always at the center of truth. To me, accountability is at the center of truth. If accountability isn't taken, there will never be truth. And the fact that our government doesn't make white supremacists accountable for their horrific actions, they don't see a truth.
Okay.
They don't see a truth. And that's how, like, I see life. That's why I am always big on you have to hold people accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable, because you'll never get to a center of truth. If nobody's held accountable, nobody knows the truth. If nobody's ever told what the truth is, it's like you just keep repeating the same actions. Our country has a history of not taking accountability for our actions.
Okay.
The United States lives in a history of hurting the Asian community. You know, going back to the World Wars with Japanese internment camps, accountability has never been taken. So you just keep doing the same thing over and over again if nobody tells you what you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to me, the basis of where this comes from. If America is built on racism, it's a racist place.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not taking the steps to eradicate racism, or have a bigger conversation about gun violence, or guns in general, or have a bigger conversation about white supremacy being the number one terrorist group in the world.
Yeah.
If those things aren't spoken about, we'll never get to the root of the problem.
Fair.
If what the white media is going to do is put just us against each other. Hey, both minority communities just need to support each other. That's 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to tell the majority to stop killing us? Like, you know, and once again, it's the genius in racism because they know how to get us to react. They know, hey, we'll start a conversation about them not supporting each other so they can argue about that while we just keep doing what we're doing. We could keep our guns.
Yeah, because I mean, that's where the real problem is, mm-hmm. is with the gun laws. Like, that's mm-hmm. like, obviously, it's what is causing this is rooted in the racism and rooted in the hate for anyone besides themselves. But like, what further perpetuates that problem is the fact that these guns are so readily available. Like, it's self-hate fueled by accessibility to these weapons that don't need to be there. So like, nah, it's deep. I mean, that's again, I just want to reiterate that same point. Our condolences, our sympathies are just, that's just fucked up. Like, the more, and they're happening more frequently. Like, there was a stat I saw, and it said that there's been like 89 days since the beginning of the year, and don't hold me to that. But it's been 83 days in 2021, but there's been 102 mass shootings. That means there's more than one per day, which is insane. It's insane, but I don't understand why. If you look at that stat and you have any power or say in the government, why would you not want to change? Like,
right.
Even beyond a color thing, a race thing, like, bro, if you're in these states, you are at risk, bro. You could be getting your nails done and somebody comes spraying because they hate Asian people and it hits you. Like, I don't understand. How could you not want change? How could you not seek change? How could you not think change is not needed? Like, nah, that shit is. And we are in New York, and some of our listeners aren't, but in New York, the gun laws are so strict. So I feel like people in New York can't even kind of wrap their mind around that, because if you get caught with that thing in here, like, that shit no joke. But like, in other places, it is so much easier to get a gun. You can walk into fucking Walmart and get a shotgun, bro. Like, fucking Walmart and get a shotgun. That's crazy. So, yeah, our condolences go out to the families, to the friends. Like, that is really earth-shattering to wake up or go on your phone and see that someone you love, it got gunned down for no reason. Like, that shit doesn't make sense. Like, not gang violence, not a robbery. Just, you are going, living through your everyday life, being a decent human being, and somebody captures shit because they hate somebody else for no real reason. They go to kill someone who you don't know,
right,
is insane. Like, I would never understand that point. Like, it's not for money. It's not to kick someone's door in. It's just, I hate you so much, I'm going to kill a random person who has probably I never met in my life and has had no impact on my life, but I'm going to take your life because I hate you so much because of something. So again, our condolences go. That shit is crazy.
You know what? It also, I didn't realize, because I learned something when people were telling me, you know, hey, you guys didn't really do a good job of addressing this, right? Because I'm very good at taking that in and say, okay, let's see what we can do better. You know what I'm saying? Because that's important. And that's something I never want to skip. I have so many Asian friends that are some of the closest people in my life. You know, the last girl I dated was Asian.
So. You sound like Danny Lay, but keep going.
That's I'm black, but there's that. But yeah, I went, and then shout out to Adam. Shout out to Morgan for saying, you know, like, the connection here is also the fetishism in minorities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shooter in Atlanta saying it's because, you know, I fetishized
mm-hmm.
Asian women. It's like, okay, so you are sexually, the accountability was, oh, they make me, they push my sexual urges, so they have to go. Right? So
the fuck does
right,
that mean?
Right. But that's also something we've talked about, the fetishism in our minorities is black men, black women are fetishized by the majority race, you know? So that's also something we have to be mindful of. that's something that's like, fetishism isn't always like a good thing where, oh my God, they like us. It's not a like. Sometimes they feel like it's a sickness.
Mm.
They feel like it's a sickness to like us, to ponder over us. Wow. And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
When COVID happened, there were countries that, look at a sickness. There were countries that thought, okay, the only way to contain this is to kill the people. That's just the similar mindset from this dude.
Yeah.
And it always goes back to me. That goes back to the government. That goes back to the government making it seem like, you know, our former president calling this the Chinese virus. Like all of those things that you put on other races and not looking yourself in the mirror. It all goes back to me, just accountability. And it seems so small, right? Saying this, it seems so small to say, hey, there's something wrong with me here. Mm-hmm. But that goes such a long way.
Yeah.
That goes such a long way to be like, oh, well, why don't we look in the mirror? Hey, we're all white guys, man. We're white guys. People that look like us keep killing people that are unwarranted. Maybe as a group of white guys, something's wrong here. Like, why is that not like, what is how is that not a simple, hey, maybe I should talk to this white guy to not be racist because I'm not racist and I know racism is wrong. But you get a group of two white guys, one's racist, they'll just think it's funny. Yeah. You get around one dude that's rude to women and it's like, oh, nobody says, well, that's not okay, man. And that just a cycle of stopping that happens.
Yeah.
You stop the cycle the cycle stops in private, not in public. I always say that.
Mm.
The cycle stops when nobody's around. You're able to be like, yo, because people receive things privately a little bit better. Like, yo,
100%.
I don't think this is how you should move around. Say a bunch of group people because people become defensive. People want to, yo, but I don't think this is how this shit goes like this. You shouldn't be doing this, man. You shouldn't say that about that black dude. That's not funny. That's not funny. You feel me?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Maybe he'll think twice. Maybe that isn't funny.
Nah,
maybe you shouldn't say that about that Asian woman. Don't say I only like that's not okay.
True.
Like stop that shit early. Stop that shit when you're by yourself with your friends. Don't wait till you know what I mean? Because you have no idea what the hell is in his head. As much as we all say we know our friends, we have no idea what the fuck happens when your friend goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Or what the hell is going on in his head. You know what I'm saying? So I hope we did a better job. And like I said, we're not the news or the analyst, but we keep on reiterating that we want to do a better job in addressing that and just give a deeper dive in what we thought and how we stand and support the Asian community, our Asian brothers and sisters for 110%. Now, unfortunately, getting to the Colorado victims. Another shooting. Another white man.
This was a grocery store, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another white man.
That is. Yeah.
It's supermarket shooting in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah. That is
10 victims.
I'm not scared of much, but like that is a situation that I couldn't even fathom, like being in. Imagine the pandemonium of just hearing gunshots and like we all been at a party when somebody starts spraying cool, but imagine. Like, you hear people yelling, like, people are running, you don't know where to look, you don't know whether to hide, you don't know where it's coming from. Like, that is a horrible situation to be in.
I agree 100% with that sentiment, because in my head, it's like, all right, the last thing I would ever want to happen is me being caught in a violent situation that I didn't put myself in. Like, we've always talked about this, I'm like, hell, man, I always said, listen, me, if something ever happened to me because of a violent situation, it doesn't, mm-hmm. I don't fear that. But an unwarranted where kids are screaming, yeah, that shit would, oh like, my.
You don't, well, and.
Yeah.
What if you're with your girl or your kids?
Right.
You don't know whether to hide them to, like, it's just, nah. So when I read that story, I was like, that is, you go into the grocery store to get some milk, some bread, and some condoms, and then, like, the shit just starts breaking off, bro. That is. Again, our condolences go to the families and to the families of the victims. Even if you were in that situation, like, that's super trauma. Like, super stress on your mind, your body. Like, there's something that sticks with you. Like, even if you did not get gunned down and you're still in a situation and you see someone get shot or you see people on a stretcher, like, you're fucked up. Like, that's so, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't get an accurate list of the last victims in a sense where we couldn't, I didn't want to mispronounce any names as well, so I didn't say the list, but we do have a list of the Colorado victims. I just want to kind of say that off. Boulder Police Officer Eric Talley, Ricky Olds, the store employee Denny Strong, Terry Leaker, Nevin Stanzik, Tranola, Bart Kowick, Susan Fountain, Kevin Mahoney, Lynn Murray, and Jody Waters. Rest in peace to you. Rest in peace to those people. It's just tragic that we're sitting here and having to talk about 18 people that have been lost in the last 2 weeks from random gun violence. Not random, sorry. Unnecessary
targeted hate.
Targeted hate. Yeah, that's the exact sentiment.
Targeted hate.
Targeted hate. I can't even during a pandemic too. That's why it's more, because when we weren't in a pandemic, I didn't stop and sit with it. And or is it maybe because we're doing a podcast? But we've covered mass shootings while we've been doing the podcast. So it's like I'm sitting here like, yeah, we're in a pandemic. People are just now able to start to leave their house, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
It kind of reiterating what we said before, it's a bigger conversation about gun violence, though, to be honest. It's a bigger conversation about the gun laws. And I think as a country, it's the country's job is to protect the people. So why are we just not doing that? And I saw a list on the internet. The last 10 mass shootings have been by an AR-15. If there's a common denominator in something, maybe it's got to be removed. Like, that's just simple 1 + 1 = 2 to me. There's a common denominator in things that's got to be removed. So, yeah, I don't know how else to really, you know, mince this or put this into words. The gun laws have to change. There's no reason to have an AR-15 as a civilian. That's simple as it gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not one to tell somebody how to protect themselves. If you feel like you need a pistol in your house or whatever, listen. We're not gonna politicize too much, but listen, who am I to say that? But machine guns and guns that are used in war, and what's going on? Like, what else are you doing with that besides bringing pain?
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
And bringing pain, like what war are you at? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, obviously, rest in peace to all those victims. We just really, you know, want to push the agenda forward that it is easier to buy a gun than it is to register to vote. That is nuts. I remember I was 18 years old. I told myself, bro, I can probably get a gun faster than I can get alcohol.
Feel you.
Like, I can go get a gun before I can go get a bottle of anything.
Nah, maybe.
Like, when I was 18 years old, I'm like, yo, like, if I need a gun tomorrow, I can go get one.
I
can literally just go get one.
I like seen a tweet that said, like, bruh, at this point in my life, it is easier to get a hammer than a pair of Air Maxes. Like, I said, that's crazy, nigga. Like, he said,
that's
damn,
a fact.
I ain't got a plug for these Air Maxes coming out, but
you can go. You can go upstate, get your homie with a license, and then go buy
it. Like, I got a hammer, but I cannot get these damn Air Max 94s, nigga.
Bro,
that shit crazy, bro. This is America, bro.
It's America, man.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, I did see Biden on there and say we have to change the gun laws. But are we? Because I feel like every Democratic president has said that.
I mean, they talking about a third stimmy coming, so.
Okay, well.
You got my vote.
He's already the president, Walter.
I'll vote for him again. No, I'm playing. I'm so playing. But yeah, no, it's something that has to be addressed. To be honest, me and my pessimistic American bag, shit ain't gonna change, bro. Guns are part of American culture.
Oh yeah, I agree with you on that.
The NRA is one of the biggest lobbyists on this planet. They have so much bread to contribute, and as long as they keep paying, niggas gonna lead the way.
Both
this shit
Democrats
is, bro.
And Republicans are in bed with those guys. Duh, so I don't believe none of that shit that they spew. And you're not fooling me. All that shit is a corrupt system. And the number one thing is say, people kill people, not guns. Well, you don't give them the AR-15. Have you ever shot a pistol? You're not getting off that many. You're not killing that many niggas off in a store. By the time you get your third shot off, you're probably on the ground.
Facts.
Have y'all ever shot a gun to know? Facts. Like, what are y'all talking? There's a reason it's the same gun being used. You ever try to get a shotgun off in a Walmart? You probably fall back so fast. By the time you fall back, somebody's gonna take you out.
No, I'm hit, bro. And
like,
that,
like what
so,
word? Like, oh and, my and, god!
Just again, our condolences sincerely rest with all the victims and their families, their friends. That is just a tough pill to swallow. That's crazy, and I can't fathom in that. And just to kind of wrap up this, the sad segment. I just want to say rest in peace to Christine Engelhardt. I may have botched that last name, but she was a victim down in spring break, Miami, Florida this year. And she was,
I did hear about that. Yes.
She was raped and killed. There were two suspects who are in custody, but again,
fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys. But
and I hope they get the fucking needle.
Yeah, I don't know if they did it or not, but either way, this woman was raped and killed and robbed. So like, that's where my condolences go to the family. Like, that's just no joke. You go to Miami just to have fun. The world's been locked down, and that's just a tragedy. So that's again, my consoles go with the family, and rest in peace, Christine, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's
all right. Yeah, I think that is
it for sad news.
That is it for sad news, and I hope we did a good job, you know, expressing ourselves as sincerely as we possibly could. This isn't necessarily sad. Well, it's not sad. It still is sad. But we haven't given y'all a COVID update in a while, so I think we should kind of the numbers. All right, we're at an all-time low.
Shit don't exist no more, bro.
Oh, well, there's that. Wow. Okay. All right. And I can't be a sex symbol, but you can say that.
You're not a sex symbol. No. It's just very real. She's very real. But numbers are down.
The numbers are down. Like I said, we hit the streets a little bit. Safely, though. We hit the streets, and it's feeling normal, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to re-hit the streets to kind of do a little birthday redo maybe this weekend and see what it looks like in New York. I'm going to hit the streets this weekend in New York, see what it's looking like. Maybe hit a little brunch, a little rooftop, see what's up. You know what I mean? So just to kind of, you know, to feel what New York feels like, because nothing beats a New York. I don't care what none of you niggas say. Nothing beats a New York City summer. Even if it's half open, it beats a lot of places. So, you know, it's going to be 70 degrees Friday and Saturday, I think. Well, today and Saturday, I'm sorry. And I think, you know, I'm gonna see what it's looking like out there, man. Put this sex symbol to work.
Are you going to throw it all away like the niggas did at spring break? That shit was ridiculous, bro.
No, when I say hit the streets, I'm 28 now.
I've seen
it. My hitting the streets is, hey, let's get some chicken and waffles and some champagne at 2 p.m.
I seen the entire block and not because I was there, because I was looking at pictures. It was humans in drones, bro. No mask. I was like, yo.
My brother went to Miami for spring break.
That nigga.
Like a loser.
I was like, yo.
No, he's supposed to do that. I'm joking. He's 21.
That shit's crazy, bro.
Listen, I understand it. Yo, I can't. Even me, I felt like it was cabin fever being able to be outside. You understand what I'm saying? Even me, I felt like, hey, like we were kind of like, we weren't super outside, but we were still sectioned off in our own area. But it. You know, there were people there, and it felt like, okay, we're kind of getting back to normal. So I can't fathom people having the full effect of what outside is. I understand, especially somebody that likes to be out and social and, you know, meeting people. Like, I like to be, as much as I hate people, my environment is being in a space where I hear the music and I feel the energy, and it's inspiring. Like, you're living life.
Okay.
So I can't fathom people that are twice that of me being locked in the house and finally getting that at 20, 21, the minute you give them a little bit of breathing room, oh, they out of here. They're out of here, man.
I understand that, but why the fuck would you not wear a mask?
Because kids are stupid.
Nigga, that's what I don't, I'm like, nigga, this mad nigga's no mask, bro.
Well, I mean, think about how ignorant you are in 2021, bro.
Nigga, if someone told me I could die from a pandemic, I'm fucking wearing my mask. You're not wearing, you're still wearing. Bro, you're bugging, bro.
Niggas be like, yeah, 2021, nigga be like, yeah, fuck y'all niggas, all right.
Nah, nigga.
Well,
nah, nigga. That's
nigga be like, yeah, fuck this, whatever. Y'all say what y'all want. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Would I have not gone to spring break, I probably would have been there being a thought. But would I have not had my mask? I'll be masked up, nigga.
You're gonna be in the spot masked up?
Bro, we were in the spot in masked, NBA masked the fuck
we're
up.
We're 30
bro.
Years old, Walter. Nigga, it's different.
Yeah, but there were niggas who were in that spot with no mask.
There was a lot of killers there. I'm not gonna lie. There's a lot of cold-blooded
that
killers
shit,
there.
I was like,
did you think did you think them niggas worried about some masks? I was worried about my safety. I was like, yo, they ain't pat me down when I got in here. They ain't pat none of these niggas down. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, that shit was wild. Yeah, I want to hear all your Miami stories. If you went, please DM me because I'm curious.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to live through the kids. But that's kind of the COVID update thing. The numbers are dwindling. I didn't look up exact statistics, but the numbers are dwindling, at least in New York. That's where we live. But yeah, the numbers are dwindling. I don't know what the... I think they right now the restaurants are still at 35% capacity. I know that I'm getting like flyers for like events now. So I don't know what that means. But like every week now I'm getting, hey, party this day, party that day. Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. So I'm like, all right, well, bye-bye May, by June. I see us having at least 55 to 60% opening, which means full-time events will be happening and available to me. Because 55, 60% means the amount of people I want to be around for the rest of my life anyway.
Big facts.
So once I hit 55, 60%, my summer is, my summer is set. Just catch me on a rooftop every weekend. All my friends on rooftop, please invite me. And that's it.
Yeah. Super hit.
But that is all the news we have.
Yep.
For this episode, I want to start with the obviously, I know we said we were done with news, right? But I want to start with the most pressing news of the week.
Okay.
It's either you can call it sad. I called it a celebration because now I'm a sex symbol, so I get it.
Okay. I don't know where this is going, but I'm listening.
Yeah. What'd you call her? The icy girl? I think you texted me that.
I never texted.
And you said,
I've never
said
icy say? Girl.
No. Remember what you said when you said, oh, I make pretty nigga music. That's what you said.
First of all, I've never said that.
I was like, why are you texting me this? Because Sweetie single.
Nigga, I don't even text you, number one.
Well, that's a problem. That's why them Joe Budden niggas, that's why they ended. But anyway, they didn't talk to each other. But so Walter tried to talk about this last episode. And didn't explain it well at all.
I was just
ahead. We had no idea what you were talking about.
I was ahead of the news.
No, you didn't tell us. So,
I got a PR plug now. So she was kind of feeding me real time what happened. She was actually at the actual Justin Respect. First of all, that show was dick. I watched it a couple times. And now they got a little, they got Boosie Badass episode 2, bro. Niggas went from Sweetie to Boosie Badass.
Well, we sound like we're hating because it's doing well, I hear.
No. Nigga, clearly numbers do not dictate the quality of anything
in
2021.
Oh, no, it doesn't, man. Yeah. But that dude, what's his name? I don't know his name, but he's
doing good. Those Jaws who be in the background, they be type fire, bro. I don't know where they get them from. They have no purpose. They don't even drink during the episode.
Oh, they're sitting in a bathtub, too. Like it's like there's no couch there. It's like they're sitting on hard-ass stools. I was like, y'all could have got some couches with this budget. That budget for that show looks unbelievable. Well, actually, it looks like it's Diddy's crib. Never mind.
Yeah, it's probably Diddy's
backyard.
Like event space in his basement, in his cellar. But now all I'm saying is,
could you reiterate what was... Well, I'll try to give it because I woke up the next morning after our episode. I wake up the next morning in the Airbnb we're in. I said, Walter, the way you described that shit and when I watched it is two completely different things.
Yes, but I was trying to frame it in a question. Because, yes, if I said exactly what happened, niggas would have a conniption.
If we want to have a conniption.
If girl go to the grocery store without asking these niggas for permission, they gonna bark out on their girl. So
okay, first of all, Walter, don't make it sound like that.
Obviously not barking. No,
we're not the niggas in Tyler Perry's Diver Mad Black.
This nigga's woman. Gonna get in their feelings if the girl go to the car wash.
Yeah, because so, she's cheating.
She's not cheating, bro.
Well, whatever. You don't even wash nothing. Whatever.
You don't even wash your drawers. It's crazy. Yeah, so it's
like, girls don't wash their jeans. Whatever. We'll get into that another
but
night.
But that's why I was framing it in that way to see what you niggas would say. But yes, that interview, to me, if you haven't seen it, don't watch it. The show's ass. But, sweetie, I didn't know this before. And shout out to Combs, to Justin, right? His name is Justin?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For pulling Sweetie. Sweetie is a top-notch woman. She's beautiful. She seems to be very intelligent, and she's very business-minded. And
Sweetie's a superstar. So
and Justin pulled her. So
he's a superstar. You haven't been in the club with Justin Combs?
I have not been in the club with Justin Combs.
Listen, if you haven't been in the spot where Justin Combs is at,
what's his little brother's name?
Bro, I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
I did a show with his little brother, but there's nothing different. But
I don't know. But the one that looks like Diddy. Yeah, I don't know. If you ever been in a club with Justin Combs, bro?
He be bugging?
Bruh, he's like outside. He's like a regular nigga outside, but times 50.
Because
Like, he's like really outside. Like, he's not playing. He's in the spot. You know he's in the spot. He's not chilling in the corner. You know the nigga's there.
I feel you.
So, yeah. If Sweetie like the rappers that be outside, the nigga's outside times 10 with money. Too, cause
money,
yeah,
money.
Like, cause you know the rappers be lying, so yeah.
But
not Quavo, of course, cause that nigga's good. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so but they did it like a long time ago, though, right?
Yeah,
but Walter described it. He was like, yeah, you know, she said this, and this, and we'll do. I'm like, all right, this seems normal. This seems fine. Like, she can go on, your girl can go on a podcast with her ex. If that's your job, not sleeping with him on the episode. They're not going to watch it. That's my problem. I should go watch things before we fucking talk about it. But I go watch it, and I listen. I said, whoa, hold on. You are sitting in front of your ex saying that if I asked you for a threesome, you'd say, which nigga? Excuse me, queen. This is over. But obviously, we later found out that they were broken up anyway. That's what she says, but I mean, women don't tell the truth.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You thought that they broke up from that?
No, they were definitely on the rocks before then.
But when are you not on the rocks with your girl, like in life?
You know, most times I'm not on the rocks when I'm with a woman.
I've never been off the rocks.
That's a problem, nigga.
Oh, I'm a sex symbol. Continue.
Okay. That is sick. But that for my opinion, they were on the rocks. Both of them, whenever a woman says I've emotionally checked out weeks ago, she ain't coming back, bro. She ain't coming back, bro. She means that.
Okay, but we're gonna give credit to Quavo though. We're not about to do that.
No, I'm not saying
he said, I can't believe. Let me get the exact.
No, pull it up, because to be honest, if my breakup don't go like that, then my chick ain't love me. And I said, and I put that right now.
Wait, what do you mean? No, what do you mean she ain't love you?
If she did not break, if things don't break up like that, then she ain't love me.
Like quietly?
No, that shit was not, bro. It's not quietly.
It was three tweets.
Nigga, that's, come on, nigga.
Oh, you never had a girl jump out the bushes on you.
No, because I'm not on the rocks with her. Because
I'm talking about after a breakup.
I'm just saying that level of pettiness and unsaid emotions, that's what I want in my next breakup.
Yes, that is the perfect breakup, though.
No, those words had so much weight and emotion behind them.
But that's fine, but I'm like, that means when a girl is that calm, and even though she can love you, when she's that calm,
then things are over.
Things are over. No, means it's, but it can be over regardless. When that means it's over. But when she's losing it and going crazy and being petty and saying all this other shit, it's like, oh wow, this girl really did love me, huh? Wow, or that she can't get nobody else, but yeah, she really did love me, huh? Damn.
Nah, I'm looking at the opposite.
Damn, I don't think so.
Woman is like yelling, screaming,
she loves me.
No, she loves you. At least in my opinion, she may love you for the, how do I say this? without sounding insensitive. Who cares? She may love you. She may she loves you because through her issues. Like, she may have abandonment issues and she may have attachment issues, and she's holding on so tightly because you leaving is triggering something. Like, in my opinion, when
I like going into the shoes.
Okay. You're sick. It, when it's that theatrical, I feel like it's coming from a place deeper than just I care for you. You feel me? Like,
but that's okay.
That was a very, and again, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but when it's in that type of breakup, in my opinion, that means that, like, we are both whole individuals. We came together. We tried to make it work. For whatever it was, it didn't work, and we can split up and still be whole individuals. And
ew.
Nigga, what is wrong with that?
Ew.
You're sick.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck
You're
that.
You're sick.
What am I, 70? Oh, my God. Give me a little spice, queen. Listen, give me a little spice.
No.
Tell me you hate me. What else? Kick my shit. I don't know. Give me something to know. Oh, well, maybe I do love you still. But both of y'all just say, huh, yeah, move on. Hope you wish you the best. I didn't like you that much.
Nah.
I don't have that reaction to women ever anyway. Me, I'm just going to, when I see you, I'm just going to try to do my emotional distancing, and my emotional trauma is going to be, anytime I see you, I'm going to do my best to ignore you, but hope you see me still. But nah, I don't, bro, Quavo said, my man Quavo said, let me tell you something. Y'all bugging out. I had love for you, and I'm disappointed that you did that. What a mature word, disappointed.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I love to see.
You are not the woman I thought you were. But we can't react bad, though. Men aren't allowed to react poorly to women. You are not the woman I thought you were. I wish you nothing but the best. Bro, first of all, once I tell a woman I wish you nothing but the best, I won.
Okay.
Especially if I said it first.
Yeah.
That's my bet. Like, bro. Listen, if I ever tell you I wish you nothing but the best, you don't hear from me, you will never hear from me again. And I'm proud of that. But I don't want her to say that if I actually still like her. But I have to say it because we guys aren't allowed to react badly to breakups. We can't say nothing when you ghost us. We can't say nothing when you have an attitude when you're rude. We aren't allowed to say any of those things in a relationship. We always have to be cool no matter what. So that's why I'm saying to your point, it's like, yo, we can't like... She controls the temperament. That's what I'm saying. If she doesn't react, she probably didn't like me that much. If she reacts like, okay, if I know you're bugging out, you're cursing out, you're bugging, I know, well, there's still something there for you. So, but either way, I have to react the same. I have to be super cool about it.
Okay.
I have women that are like, yo, women will talk about, yo, guys are mature because they ghost or they don't text you back. But what happens when y'all do it? Well, I have the right to change my mind. I know. I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, oh, we have one option here. We have option A. That's it. Option A, B, and C.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just saying that seemed like you said, it's been over for a while. But that show may have hit the nail on the, what's that? The nail in the coffin?
Coffin, yeah.
Yeah, that, because you're not doing that to me. You're not gonna no. That's way too far for us.
Now, I am trying to find the lyrics. I'm here scrolling through
the lyrics
because Quavo was caught
that snippet.
Yes, that nigga was in.
Well, he has to do that.
Okay, but that's what a real nigga does.
He's like, you about to rap? You supposed to rap about it?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's the only way to express
yourself. When rappers go through breakups, it's the best music ever. So I am excited for this new music.
I heard a snippet of Culture 3 a little bit.
And
it's really good.
And
the snippet sounds really good.
He seemed to be subbing. I don't know. I don't know this nigga's what was coming from his lyrics.
Subbing music is the best.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to see.
Like everybody,
I kind of want to go through a breakup so I can start subbing Shorty in the next track I drop, bro.
Do it anyway. Just do it. Even if y'all good, like, oh man, I hate that we're good. I hate that we're, together. I hate that you won't fight me and stay with me for, oh, I should rap. I'm a sex symbol now, so I could. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, you should. Like,
yeah. Speaking about rappers, I know you don't like the kids, but please tell me you've seen NBA Youngboy running from the police.
We should have been.
This nigga had an outstanding warrant. And please.
He should be an athlete. He should have been an athlete. That nigga, he should be an athlete.
I've never seen a nigga holding his pants up, holding his chain, running for the police, bro.
That nigga was doing running a 4.34.
I'm like, and this cop, I'm like, why are all cops slow, bro?
Yeah, bro, do y'all work? What is the, I need to know the fitness stuff for them, because how could you, I don't know if he was going fast or y'all was going slow or the video was just in slow motion in general.
I'm like, nigga, what the fuck, bro?
I'm like, somebody got to catch it.
And like, bro, where are you going to go, bro? You're NBA young, bro. Where are you going to hide out
where
at?
Where you going to hide? You know, like, come on now.
That nigga was, I've never seen anyone hold a chain and they pants up at the same time, bro.
I've never seen so many rappers get arrested for the same charge during the same amount of time. Y'all, what, like, it's the same charge.
But that's what I really realized that, like, this music shit, it really is not what it used to be, but it's because so many of our favorite rappers are either arrested or got killed. Like, this rap game is watered down because, but it's because these artists are targeted, like, by the, like, if you haven't, go check it out. NPR released a very informative YouTube video. It's about 10 minutes, and it's really talking about the history of how rappers are prosecuted for their lyrics more, like, substantially more than any other genre. Like, there are white people saying, "I will kill you," in this rock music, and they are fine.
Oh, of course.
But the fact, the,
you tell me white privilege is this? Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. I will slay you. Like, all that crazy shit. Like, I'll kill you. But the second a rapper does it, they literally.
That's a fact.
It's used against them in a court of law more than any other genre. If you haven't, Google NPR, find that shit, watch it. That shit opened my eyes. But yeah, man, these rappers are dead ass targeted. And that shit's kind
of
crazy.
I think it's a bigger conversation too. Of like, bro, once you get to a certain point and you're getting a certain amount of money, bro, either you separate yourself from the niggas that's still doing bullshit, or you grab a couple niggas and y'all just you want your day ones with you all the time, but if they still on some bullshit that's jeopardizing your freedom, you can't be around those people. Unfortunately, you can't talk to them. And that's unfortunately just what it is.
Yeah.
Anybody that's gonna compromise your freedom, bro, you have to stay the fuck away from. I don't care if they're your brother. Your if you want to keep moving, because a lot of these RICO charges, bro, it's a bunch of bullshit.
It's crazy, it's, yo, bro.
I'm a rapper. I have money. If I lend my friend money who's doing some bullshit, I am now funding the bullshit.
Yeah.
So that, and you can't, bro, a lot of niggas just, you can't beat that, really. A RICO charge like that, a conspiracy, like, hard, you cannot beat that shit.
Yeah, bro.
Unfortunately, bro, you have to just remove yourself. And the thing is, a lot of it is you're being disloyal because you're not taking your day one homie on the road with you. But if my day one homie on the road with me is putting my life in jeopardy, you do not need to be on the road with me because you're being selfish as my homie. You know what? You know what's at stake. You know what's at stake. You know the value and the importance of what I'm doing. Why are you still doing some bullshit knowing that you're associated with me? We're going to jail if you get caught.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you get called as a rapper. None of these niggas is coming to visit you. None of these niggas about to take care of your family. Casanova been talking about it from been tweeting from jail this whole time. He's like, you know what I'm saying? All niggas that was the homies didn't come, not one of them come visit me. None of you, nobody sent a dollar to me since I've been inside.
That's crazy. And that to nigga me, it's was not definitely funding niggas' lies, bro, for sure. Yeah, bro.
It's not ain't shit like that surprised me. It's like that's part of it. Bro, at the end of the day. If you see a bigger picture, if somebody's not willing to sacrifice for the bigger picture, they don't need to be around you, bro. I don't care where how long you've known them. If somebody's not willing to take, yo, something big is here. I need to stop doing this bullshit. Maybe be broke for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sacrifice a couple years of being broke so we can get this big money. Mm-hmm. So I can even if I got to be the second guy. Like that's the thing. People aren't willing to sacrifice in life, bro. Sacrifice is the toughest thing to do, and people aren't willing to sacrifice, bro.
Yeah.
And that's all this shit, that whole story fucking reminds me of. Besides him possibly being a former NFL cornerback, like,
that nigga was
out. But yeah, man, it's sad because honestly, how you gonna beat that shit, bro?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not a fucking lawyer but I'm saying, like, just the history of these cases, bro, the nigga with the money goes to jail.
Fair, man, that shit was crazy, and I think the craziest story of the week, at least for me, and I think I finally found my footing. I'm gonna start a segment with the craziest story of the week. And sometimes there'll be two stories. And I think I'm going to brand it, get some t-shirts. John hates when I pitch merch ideas.
I mean, listen, as long as you make the merch separate, do what you think, bro. I don't give a fuck.
I'm part of this brand. I'm selling it under.
You can make crazy story t-shirts. I don't got nothing to do with me. I don't need it.
Did you see how... You're a dick. Okay, second. Did you see how Donald Trump, he is planning to start his own social media network?
I didn't see this, so tell me about it. I have no idea. I didn't see this shit at all. This is not in the group chat. What the fuck are you talking about?
This nigga, because he's banned from every social media, every platform, this nigga's banned from fucking Cash App. Like, and that makes me think about when my ex blocked me on Venmo. That shit changed my life, bro. I sent her, sidebar, sent her like $50 for her birthday. She sent it back and then blocked me on Cash
App. First of all, you cheap ass nigga. What the fuck she gonna do with $50, you piece of shit? You're a piece of shit.
She had a whole new nigga, bro.
Oh, you're sick. Can I use this as a title then?
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, you do be giving a fuck. Don't lie.
No, but now it's
okay,
my
so I can use this. Okay, fine. That's great.
Yeah, nah.
Wait, you sent her $50 and she got a new man. You thought she was gonna be cool with that?
Yo. I still loved her.
Oh my god,
I still loved her.
No, that's only 50, bro. That's good. A lot more's gonna have to do it.
Okay, but imagine sending her like two bands and she just sends a smiley face back and then go fucks a nigga.
Oh no, that can't happen. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
No, at this point, then that's what you have a platform for. Listen, then you start subbing this chick because we're rappers of words now.
That's mad funny, but maybe
I should send back to Cash App.
I tried it. It didn't work. She just blocked me. Oh, but
if she has a new man, though, he can't be getting.
Yeah,
it.
But he was a lame nigga, bro.
No, never mind. Never mind. Kidding. No, I'm not. All right, but yes.
That so Donald Trump is planning. It's said to launch his own social media platform because he's banned from now Twitter, Facebook, Instagram for sure. I know that for a fact.
Triller,
WhatsApp. this nigga can't TikTok either.
Twitch,
but now he's trying to start his own social media platform, which is crazy. Fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck you, Terry Crews. We haven't got that off in some time.
Yeah, we haven't got some Terry. Fuck you, Terry Crews, bro.
Yeah, fuck you, Donald Trump. Nobody should go to that platform. It's going to be a white supremacist like breeding ground, man. Yeah,
he's
like,
gonna be whatever he's going to call. I don't know. I can't say tweeting. He's going to be talking to himself. It's like, who's going to be the him and the white niggas just looking at the, hey, I hate black people. I hate black people. It's not going to get old.
It's going to be Donald Trump and the niggas who stormed the Capitol. Like, that's going to be the platform, which is the second part of my crazy story of the week. I will get his name real quick. That shit. I felt this nigga, bro.
Why you get his name? I guess I'll help you out with the backstory, right? So Walter was telling me before we recorded, he's like, yo, did you know that a woman got caught cheating by storming the Capitol with her side nigga and her husband found out? But you have the
name. His
name,
name,
right?
Is Michael Henlai. He filed for divorce from his wife, Jennifer, after learning she ignored his request to stay away from the rally but went with another nigga, bro. And this nigga found out from a picture on Twitter. He said, oh shit, that's my wife there. Imagine your wife cheating on you at a racist Confederate rally. Bro,
first of all, don't go be racist without me. Let's be racist together. You better be racist with me, queen.
And it says that the headline is that detective's wife's attended Capitol riots with another man. It's crazy. Imagine getting cheated on by your wife at a racist rally, bro.
Yo, women are the worst. I'm not going to front. Yo,
that's crazy.
Like, how can you get that off?
That's crazy, nigga.
Oh, shit. I mean, I'm glad it's white people being white.
Yes, it's the whitest of white people being white.
Oh shit! Yeah. Don't go to a racist rally without me. Let's go together. Yeah, let's go hate niggas together. Yeah, let's do that. Like, you're not about to do that. And if I tell you not to go, like, nah, you got to eat that. Sorry.
That is a real ass nigga though. I mean, he white, but he a real ass nigga because he divorced his wife. Which,
oh no, white people pride is way worse than ours.
Okay,
like I think white. Like when you see those white drama films, bro, them niggas be divorcing off nothing. I found a toothpick in the bathroom. I don't want to be with you anymore. Just so you can fuck his 19-year-old assistant.
Fair, excuse me.
White dudes it's good for getting that. We black people, we be trying to work it out. We be staying. Do white people stay? I'm talking about in 2020. I know like when divorce wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
White people always stay. I'm saying like now, do white people stay? I feel like white people get divorced like it's crayons and crackers. Like, I feel like white people don't. Somebody got to correct me. Somebody that's listening, please tell me. Do white people stay more? I mean, do white people leave off more often now? I feel like I see white people get divorced every hour.
Yeah.
Like, but they use that shit like it's nothing.
Yeah, this is definitely not based in fact, but, and my phone's at 1%, so I can't Google it.
We don't have to be fact-based.
But I'm saying,
about white people.
I feel like white people get married so much sooner.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why
they marry their first boyfriend, first girlfriend, yeah, out the gate.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah. And like at 18 years old, I met the love of my life, and they just get married.
That's what I'm saying. And
I feel like that would end things faster because let's be serious.
Yeah.
You don't even know yourself at that age. Facts. You don't even know who you are. You have no idea who you're going to be in 5 to 10 years. People are still finding themselves at our big ass age.
So, facts.
I would assume that they, yeah.
And that's somebody was telling me a story, and I'm very curious as to the right way to handle this or the best way to handle this. So,
yep.
One of the homies, she went out to Loom a couple months, weeks back, whatever.
Oh boy.
Whatever, and she was partying, she was having fun, and she was in like, they have like these hot tub sections in the spot, whatever it is, but there was, in the hot tub section next to them, it was these white people from like Utah, and there was white women and white men, and the white women came over to their section because white people love to be with black people, whatever. They start drinking, they start dancing with the men in her section, like very, you know, like you know, it's Tulum, it's, they throwing it back, and then later,
can white women from Utah throw it back?
Probably not. They start kissing the women, but whatever it is, they're having fun. But later, the people in the section of the homie, they find out that it was their boyfriends who were in the hot tub with the white women. So the girlfriends left their boyfriends to go dance with niggas in the other section. You feel me? So
okay.
So my question to you is, if that's you, if your girl goes to a section to dance with another nigga, and you're in another country, like, how do you handle that? Like,
what do you mean? That's not my girlfriend.
Okay, what I'm saying.
What world do you like?
No, obviously, but do you just leave her there and just go on with your life? Do you wait till you get back to the States? Do you just not talk to her?
We're both together.
You're both together there. You're staying at Airbnb together. What do you do?
First and foremost, no girl should be comfortable enough with you that she feels like she can go do that.
No, I know that.
I don't know what's going on when y'all are at the crib. Maybe when y'all are having sex, she's putting the handcuffs on you and she's punching you in the mouth. She's obviously spitting in your forehead. She's obviously stepping on your neck. Yes. But why would she eat? Like, what world would she think that, yeah, it's lit. Let me go kiss these other niggas in the mouth. These niggas for real.
Dead ass.
Like, let me go kiss the niggas in
Javon,
the mouth. Davon.
But I'm saying, once Raekwon, that happens, like, your options are go fight the niggas.
Oh, no, do not do that. That's the last thing. Because then they're going to whoop your ass, and now you're double embarrassed. Okay. And they're going to take your girl, and they're not going to fuck them now.
So option two is just act like they don't exist and go with your life. And option three is pretend that it didn't happen. Like,
oh, no. What I'm going to do is...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Okay. So I'm going to put myself in those positions because it could be the biggest niggas in the world. They could be NFL players. I got to be pussy. So I'm going to be pussy. I'm like, okay. Y'all do y'all thing. Okay, cool. I'm going to leave. Immediately once I see that happen, I'm leaving.
Okay.
But I'm going to book an early flight. I'm gonna get to the room, pack all my. I'm gonna be the battered woman. So I'm gonna pack all my shit.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw all her makeup in the toilet.
Wait. That's sick, bro.
I'm gonna throw all her makeup in the toilet.
Not the Revlon.
And then I'm gonna
at the foundation. Yeah,
I'm gonna put lipstick on the mirror and then leave her with the bill. I'm gonna put lipstick on the mirror and say, I can't believe you did this to me. And I'm gonna bleach her heels. I'm gonna do all the shit that women would do. Yeah, I'm gonna throw out the window. What girls like? She got one pair of sneakers.
Nothing. Women like nothing.
You're right. She got one pair of sneakers because women don't buy more than one. I'm gonna throw the shoelaces out the window.
I feel you.
I'm gonna rip the soles in half. Yeah, I'm gonna do all that. Cause, but I gotta do it quick because she might leave Javon quickly.
No, she is.
So then, but by the time she get back, all my shit is gone. All shit's all over the room.
Got you.
And then I'm on the first flight home. I'm gonna get an early flight.
I feel you. And then that's the end of the relationship.
Well, are you kidding me?
I'm asking a question.
Have you lost your... Yes.
Okay, okay.
I mean, like I said, I think, yeah, not a chance in hell. And then, or even if I can't, because let's play this fair.
Yes.
Life ain't that easy. So let's say you're international, you can't get a flight home right away. Yeah. I'd get a different hotel.
Okay.
And I won't let her know I'm there. And then I'm going to go find me another chick.
Yeah.
Go back to the other hotel.
Okay.
And go kiss her in the mouth. Okay. In front of her.
Now both of you got herpes.
Exactly. Okay. So now we both look stupid.
I see.
But your shit's all over the hotel now.
Okay. 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 Which is, I think that's the best way to handle it.
None of it's the best way. It's all terrible. But hey, I'm hurt now.
No, I understand that. But option one is get your ass beat by Jarrell and Davon.
Yeah, I'm not getting my ass beat by the Los Angeles Rams for you, bitch. No, I'm going to take this loss and move on.
Option three is just stay with her. Then that's crazy.
You know, I'm about to leave my bed after you done fuck this nigga in the mouth. After you done mouth fuck this nigga.
In front of me is why. When she was telling me, so I was like, yo, that's... She's like, I just didn't understand. Like, then niggas are right there. Like, so,
but
okay.
Did she tell you what happened, what the niggas did?
They didn't do shit.
Oh, smart guy.
They left the section and then went right back to their boyfriend.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Well, whatever. That's Caucasian. That's Caucasian.
Yeah, super Caucasian.
That's Caucasian. Wow. Super.
But I was like, I just, in that situation, I was wondering, like, I thought about what I would do, and I thought about what's the best way to handle it, and I wanted to see another perspective.
I've had a woman tell me, like, I've gone out with a woman, and she was like, we're out at a place where you can eat dinner,
yeah,
but you can kind of like dance and mingle. Okay. Like after, in a sense. So there's a place, okay, we're eating dinner or dinner school. And she's like, oh my God, that girl's so cute. And she said that like 2-3 times. And she's like, hey, but I don't like girls though. Like, if that makes you uncomfortable, I was like, I didn't think you did. You just said these were more beautiful. She's like, nah, you would get guys that like, I would talk to girls and they'd really like, that would make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, it would, because they're corny. That's corny.
Why can't a woman go talk to girls?
No, I'm saying niggas who...
Oh, yeah.
Niggas who get uncomfortable. Like, even if the girl wants to kiss a girl, I'm like, go ahead. I don't care. Don't kiss her.
Okay, but why are you saying it like that? I don't care. Like, you're like a school kid. I'm like, I don't care. Like, you're excited. Like,
a little bit. I am.
You're red and you're black. Stop.
I am. I'm like, go ahead. Like,
no, she's like, yeah, like, I'll dance on girls and the guy...
I kind of love when women ask me, oh, do my kisses? Go ahead. Yeah.
The girl not going to she actually. She's supposed to just do it.
And then she'll be with Jarrell by herself.
Well, she got to ask you when she kiss a girl?
Yes.
Oh, I don't care.
Yes, at least run it by me. So, I don't want to go to the bathroom and then come back and
you're making out with
and you're kissing Jasmine on the mouth. Like,
I'm gonna be like, "Go, Jasmine." I'll be like, "Honey, who's this? is this our new girlfriend?" Nah, I probably want you to ask too. I'm not gonna lie.
No, yeah.
You gotta. Hey, I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
I was like, really? Guys get bad at that? Who cares?
Yeah, and I've had multiple women tell me that.
Yeah, like, what's the problem?
Niggas be corny, bro.
Fair enough.
And corny and insecure.
No, fair. That's an insecurity thing too. Because maybe she gets better than, I mean, I don't know.
Who's fine.
She's supposed to
tell you down better. That's cool.
She's
give me some pointers.
Tell me, please. Help me out.
Yeah.
She's probably bad. I'm old now. But anyway, is that all for relationships? I did want to talk about a small little blurb, right? So,
okay.
On my couple days off, I watched the Justice League movie, the 4-hour one.
That's stupid long.
But it was really good. It was one of those movies that you didn't even know was that long. I started at 1, end at 4, I mean, end at 5. Oh, wow, this is a really good movie, right?
Okay.
So now I'm thinking, all right, they're not making another one. The rest of them probably going to be shitty.
Yes.
Whatever the case may be. And then I see like 3 commercials that are black-based films that are centered around tragedy. I'm not going to say like the most pleasant stuff, so I'm not going to necessarily name the films that I saw the commercials for, and I haven't seen them yet, so you can't judge something before you see it.
Yes.
But my overall question was, especially to you, is like, are you tired of black tragedy movies? I know we've talked about this before, but we never really dived into it. You don't get, well, let me rephrase the question. I'll give my opinion first. Yeah. I'm tired of black tragedy movies.
Okay.
Why is our only black superhero movie Hancock and Black Panther?
You're right.
Like, why? I'm so, like, I don't get why can't we have, like, black films that aren't about police brutality, slavery, the civil rights movement. Like, what is, like, now, and that brings me back to, like, another point of, like, do black people only think tragedy sells for us? Like, it was a question. I'm sitting there like, yo, why as creators, because people we create, like, whether you create music, like, why is tragedy our go-to?
I'm trying to think of the movie because I had a similar discussion with a very good friend of mine, and she was saying that same. I seen the trailer. And I was like, oh wow, I'm excited to see this movie.
But I'm like, why?
But she was like, yo, you don't think that they're commodifying like these tragic black stories and tragic black situations? And I said, I guess, to be honest, that shit sells. Like,
so they don't think, I don't know who they is. Cause
a happy family black movie?
No, just a, why can't we just get a black superhero? What is the problem with that? Like, why is that?
In white America?
I know the answer. Okay. I'm saying, like, why are people so excited to see black tragedy as opposed to, if we did, let's say we did have a black superhero, right?
Yeah.
Well, the movie would have to be phenomenal. But I'd also be like, oh, man, okay. Just because I'm programmed that way.
Yeah.
Because we're programmed to watch the same white Superman, the same white, well, Captain America, I'll keep him white. Yeah. Same white Captain America. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Same white Captain, like, we're programmed, oh, this is what we know.
White Batman, white Superman, yeah, that's
it. But we've also, like, we've seen the success with a black Spider-Man, the Miles Morales kid.
Yeah, but that's a cartoon.
I mean, but they, because they saw the success with that, they're turning it into a real movie, right? So it can work.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the most popular movie, like, of,
yeah.
It wasn't, like, a little bit popular. It was, like, one of the most popular movies of that year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it can work if you put the effort and do it the right way.
Correct.
But it's like, yo, why don't we focus on the good things about black people? We don't have to make every $100 million budget about slavery and police brutality. We know what, not that, I don't want to say it as if we're ignoring it, but we know what's happening. Why don't we try to bring some joy during these times? And like, how many slave movies are we going to see? What about the even the kings? Yeah. Why can't we talk about African kings and queens? Why can't we do that?
I understand that. And
Cleopatra was white in the movies. God damn.
No, I understand that. And my only perspective, and this is the first time I've said this in my life, but it comes from Tyler Perry. And Tyler Perry, when people ask, why do you keep writing these stories about black men cheating? Is it because, like, that's the stories I know. Like, many black creatives, unfortunately, have lived a life of these pain and trauma. Like, the best art comes from when someone feels it and lived it. And unfortunately, most black Americans don't have like this peachy, rosy, optimistic look on the world and have not had these. Black people, we do a great job of making the best of situations.
Facts.
And that's why we're amazing. But like most people, especially minorities, grow up seeing this trauma. They live this trauma and the great ones find out ways to write it. But like, that's just, I mean.
But, and that's why I use superheroes as an example, because superheroes don't exist. So where are white people getting it from?
No.
Superman.
There's a new Superman show on.
And it's phenomenal.
Oh my God.
Bro, I've watched every. It's phenomenal.
But what I realized it in so much depth, it is like the story. It is like a. Like a glory story for a white man living in like Oklahoma. Like, it's like, oh wow, like I could be Superman. Like, I can live in this barren ass town. Like, it's based off of racism, and especially in these like breadbasket states, like it gives them someone to look up to. You feel me? Like, even in that show, there's okay. Like
I'm listening. I hear you.
Yeah, like it's like almost as if. How the media feeds us this like NBA basketball story. Like, I have someone to look up to. I can live up to that dream. If I'm a white man who's fat, living in Oklahoma, Superman is my God because it's close enough to me that like, oh wow, like it relates to me. You feel me?
You're also ruining the show for me, but I hear you.
Yeah, but that,
because now I'm thinking about like
I know that.
Because of me, I'm only watching it as a superhero show.
No,
and I'm
bro,
like, okay, no. I agree with you. I'm like, now I'm looking like, God damn, this shit racist as fuck. I'm over here loving this shit. I'm here centering my Tuesday nights like, Lois and Superman. I love this shit.
It's not really racist, but it's like it's rooted.
No, it's literally It's showing us the struggle of a white superhero in Oklahoma raising his white kids with his white wife.
And, white privilege.
The villain's black.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, man, fuck this show. God, dog.
And he's the only black person, I think.
Yo, no, he is.
He is, bro.
Damn, I'm racist.
And like, there was a second where I was, and if you haven't, check it out. It's okay.
Listen, okay. Outside of it being a racist show, the writing is really good.
Okay,
can't lie. The writing, bro.
The writing is
good. The first time I was like, what the fuck? Who wrote this? Who even thought of this to make Superman a little skinny white dude that can hate his kids, hate him, his wife hates him?
Yeah, but even how he's like, he's awkward and nerdy, like that relates to most white men who live in these countries. Like, they're not pulling women, they don't have a lot of money. Like, he's a submissive, corny white dude in a random ass white town in white America. I'm like, bro, Superman was designed specifically
for racist white men.
To relate.
White people hope.
Yes, to like relate to the small minded, like, I don't get women, I have a shitty job, like that type of white breadbasket America.
He is unemployed in the show.
It's like,
holy shit.
It's literally like, he's the Iverson of white people. Like, if I'm 5'11 and can shoot, Iverson gives me hope I can make it to the league. And wow. You feel me? I was like,
I can't watch the show no more. Thanks for ruining it.
Media is ruined. And the one black dude, he looks like Kanye. And
Lex Luthor has been white our entire lives. Lex Luthor is now black.
I tell you,
and
bro.
Bald. I'm like, oh, okay, now, nah, oh, wow.
Yeah, nah. But that's media. But
also, there was a twist. I'm not going to say it. If people actually want to watch the show,
yeah.
Where the reason he's mad, Lex Luthor's mad, is because the Superman from an alternate world was a killer and was an evil-ass person and stole his wife, who is his current wife right now. But neither here nor there. I think you have a good point there. You're talking about the history of Superman, about him being from a small town and being Superman and giving white men. You're right.
Gives him hope.
You're right. Wow. Fuck that show now.
It's an all-white man. Wow. But on
I'll
the
never
flip
be able to
side,
watch that show again.
I mean, watch it, enjoy it. Just,
I can't.
Once you know the truth about shit, and I'm like,
I just won't. So there's a,
I feel you.
Go watch Static Shock reruns. Fuck.
Or we could, I don't know if you saw, but Boondocks is, they got their contract to come back in 2022.
Is Aaron McGruder writing it? I don't care. Last season where he wasn't, it was awful. It was dog shit.
We need to stop. It was ass, but it's coming back.
I don't give a fuck if he's not writing it.
Okay.
I'm not about to watch some shit I just hate because it's black people. I don't have time for that. I'm gonna watch some shit I like, even if it's some racist white thing. Even if it's racist, I'm gonna watch some shit I like. Y'all not gonna take away my TV because of racism.
Racism has ruined my TV. But niggas said that we gotta get Coy Leroy to be Riley. That shit had me dying, bro. And I'm like, yeah. Like,
you was like, yeah? You're a sick ass nigga, bro.
That shit had me dying, bro.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Niggas took like Coy Leroy like speaking and put it over Riley, but when
same shit.
In the episode when he had the skirt on, like that shit had me dying. Oh man. Internet's undefeated. Don't ever fight the internet.
Don't fight the internet.
Internet will always win.
I'm not. No. If that nigga's not right.
Are you excited for that?
The Boondocks?
Yeah.
If that nigga's not writing it, no. Like I said, y'all not gonna force me into some shit that I don't like because black people wrote it. I've been screaming that for fucking years. I'm not about to do that. But beyond that, we never got to shouting out Issa Rae for her 8-movie deal with
up.
Warner Media.
Yep.
Not 8-movie, eight
series, I think.
It's 8 things.
Yeah, I think it's,
I don't think it's limited to movies or a series. Excuse me. It is 8 pieces of media through Warner Media, which includes HBO and HBO Max. Shout out to Issa Rae. Listen, I know. Like I said, Insecure isn't necessarily my favorite show just because not my cup of tea. But
you
I think
hate
Issa
black
Rae. That's not true. Oh my god. But yeah, no, Issa Rae. Insecure is not my cup of tea. But I think Issa Rae is amazing. I think that she is super talented, and that this makes sense why Insecure is not coming to an end.
Okay, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. If she had this deal lined up, makes sense why it's coming to an end. Same thing with Shonda Rhimes when she went over to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense why both Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder ended. And especially because HBO, Warner Media is giving out the bag.
Yeah.
Their budget is unbelievable, and HBO Max is the best streaming service out.
Yeah,
if you do not have that shit, bro, you're missing out. That whole Netflix shit is, bro,
ass,
HBO Max,
bro.
And HBO Max and Hulu, I live off those two things.
Feel you.
Yeah, HBO Max, I know it's a white,
and I'm like,
everything's all white control, but HBO Max is the one. There's not one thing you can miss on there. So
yeah, the Boondocks 2022 season is coming on HBO Max. Walt,
they paid you, my nigga. They paid you.
No, it's I support black cinema.
You don't even know if the nigga that's writing is black.
I don't
anymore.
Care. I'm gonna watch.
Like you have no idea.
I'm gonna watch it. Sometimes I just go to sleep with the Dave Chappelle show on just to pay Dave Chappelle. That's how much I support.
You started getting paid yesterday.
He did, and I just watch it on repeat.
But yeah. But no, I'm not really excited about the Monarchs. But yeah,
you're bugging.
Issa Rae, definitely want to shout you out, especially because it's Women's History Month. Also, we are this is coming out the 26th. March 24th was Women's Equal Pay Day.
Yes.
So let's shout that out. Women should be getting, whether it be just as much or more than men.
Pay our women,
aspect of this world. They're geniuses. They're beautiful. They're creative. And we need to pay them. Period. Point blank. Not much else to say on that, except also the NCAA. Fuck the NCAA. Like I've been saying for fucking a year and a half on this podcast about the mistreatment of not only the players, but now women athletes who have been exposing the locker room. No, I'm sorry, the weight room conditions.
The inequalities, yeah.
I was like, yo, what the fuck is this? This looks like Blink Fitness. Why the fuck are they getting treated like this?
Not even Blink Fitness.
Yeah, it's just
like the gym in a Hotel Ramada. Yeah. I'm like, nah, that's crazy, bro.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah, bro, it's just...
Their games are probably this... I watched the NCAA tournament. The women's games are more exciting.
It's inequality, bro, in the most bold, obvious sense.
But that's what I was saying. The big powers are literally not saying it to each other. And that's what I've realized. The dudes up top, they'll be like, you know what they'll say? The little people on the internet, they're going to say what they want. Fuck the internet, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody that's in that, an executive is saying,
either coaches
hey, bro.
Or...
No, I'll be like, yo, hey, bro. Nah, this isn't like fair. Because no, the coaches are part of little people.
Okay.
I'm talking about like the chancellors, the board members, the donators.
Okay.
They're not looking at each other and saying, yo, bro, nah, something's wrong here.
Because they don't care.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when there's nobody, it's always back to accountability. When nobody's holding you accountable, you're going to just keep doing the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, if the person that's at my same stature ain't saying something to me, it's just a bunch of niggas with a bunch of money saying, eh, they'll be all right. We're going to keep getting rich. Fuck them.
That's what they say. Exactly.
So, but that's us protecting the women. That's what we want to do.
And I'm like, yeah.
I don't know what you're doing there.
That's the...
The Coi Leroy song?
Yeah.
It's racist. I think that is a good majority of... I did want to have a... I mean, obviously, we don't talk about other podcasts on here. But I did... There was a big conversation that came up on Twitter because of it. Something happening with another podcast about friends in business.
You can say it, bro. I think it gives the context. But it's
I mean, obviously, there's a dispute with the Joe Budden podcast.
Yes.
You know, they're not there. They're having an argument, which I think happens with friends and business and all the time. But
which is very relevant. I mean, I kind of want to dive into it.
Them actually having that little split. I don't know how deep it is. It could just be friends fighting. And
it's exactly friends fighting, but it's when you go into business with your friends.
I want to talk about more so just going into business with your friends.
Okay.
And how to handle it and how to maneuver and how to, especially with us, people that do it.
Okay.
You know, I think that it's good to have that conversation, especially when you see people as big as them, where there's a lot more money involved, where there's a lot more factors involved, where there's a lot more staff involved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, them having that rift to me is like, I don't know. Even if it ends, it's still just a friendly fight to me. Because I've seen it. It's happened.
Yeah, but when money's involved, it may on surface
they,
be...
For me...
Okay.
The difference is, it's worse when there's not money involved. Because we can always rectify that with money.
Mm-mm. At least for me, I'm the exact opposite.
I mean, like I said, for me... if you feel like you should be let's dive into it. If you feel like, if we're in a business and there's a compensation issue, I can only speak from somebody that said, hey, as a leader, you're always going to take the short. That's just part, for you, for everybody to be happy, you have to take the short and you have to put more in.
Okay.
That's the only way this is to me, and that's just John's opinion, because you're always going to have to spend more because somebody's going to complain. You're always going to have to spend more. You're going to have to take the short. Like, that's why LeBron takes less when he has to get more. He has to get better players. know what I'm saying? That's why you've seen things like that, because Asley, for this to be a success, you've got to take this short because you're the one that's in the forefront.
Okay.
And you're the one that, you're the one that's going to, first of all, when you're the face of something, when something goes right, everybody gets praise. When something goes wrong, you're the blame.
Yes. 100%.
And you have to know that. So when you know that, the short is the gain in the long run anyway for us to sustain this. So that's, to me, in business, as a leader, yo, I got to take the short for right now. Okay. But if as somebody, if you are a lead creator, if you are creative, you're going to get your money somewhere else anyway.
Yeah, if like that, face,
you,
yeah.
If you believe in your actual creativity, yeah. You're never worried about, I was like, I'll take a short here. But me, as an individual that has nothing to do with anything else, I know I'm going to be, I'm good. I can go create this. I can go do that. Somebody's going to want me anywhere anyway. You got to believe in your creativity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I was like, the money can always be rectified in the sense of like, yo, you got to take the short. That's got to be on you.
In the terms of LeBron, like, if I take less money for my salary and we sign fucking KCP and we win a championship,
exactly,
I can go now get a Gatorade endorsement. Or
that has nothing to do with the team.
Yeah, because I'm the face and the success and the wins and the loss land on my shoulders.
That's how I see it.
I see what you're saying.
That's how I've always seen it. So take the short. Put more money out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fucking invest more. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you have to keep the train going.
Yeah.
You have to keep, because nobody's going to keep the train going more than you are. So you have to keep the train going. And at the end of the day, it's going to work out. Once you win that championship, you're still, everybody knows, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I feel like. But friends and business is tricky, man.
That's my ad lib now. But keep going. No, I understand. I just, it's just, for me, if the, at least from my experience, when the money is the issue opposed to the actual other things, like, people take that personal. Like, if we split up a pie, right, 100% of the bread, and you give me 20%, right, but you give Jordan 40%, like, that is a much more ego shot. Then,
yes, that's ego-based, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
But that's not money. I don't say that's money-based.
Yeah, but 90... At least... I'll even say 90% of either teams or musician groups or teams, they break up because of ego. Like, money is a direct... At least... And this is probably of American society, but money is a direct correlation to someone's value of you. So, like, if you that's what it is. That's why fucking so many groups break up because of the money, but the money is a correlation to egos and value of people, which it should not be the case, but it is. So, like, once you short someone on the bread, bro, and they feel like, bro, I'm contributing this much and you pay me this much, it's much more harder to rectify that than, like, oh, you disrespecting my girl, or like you overstepped the boundaries, or like some shit like that.
I think, because at the end of the day, when it gets to a certain point, y'all shouldn't even be talking to each other anyway. Like, at the end of the day, everybody should have an attorney. Everybody should have a lawyer. It should be at a point where we're not even speaking to each other. Like,
about
I'm not,
bread?
I'm not, what? Yeah, like,
about,
didn't,
okay.
Yeah, like, at a point, if there's a network that wants to get this done, everybody gets a lawyer and have your lawyer negotiate your contract based on what you do. Why am I talking to you? That has nothing to do with me and you. There's no way on God's green earth if there's a deal out there, right? And it's like, oh, well, everybody's deal has to be separate because that's how deals work.
Yeah.
Because anybody taking a group podcast deal, that's not the smartest, because everybody contributes something different. And that's how podcasts get fucked over by getting shorted. Everybody should have somebody to represent them.
Yeah.
And based off of whether we decide, you know what I'm saying, yo, I said, for me, I'm always going to be like, hey, you cut this up down the middle because I don't want no issues, because I believe in that. And no matter what's going to happen, I'm going to be able to get it. Give my niggas everything they need because I'm going to be fine. You know what I'm saying? But if it ever come, if it came down to like, yo, I don't know, let's say Sprite, hey, I'm like, hey, okay, well, And there's no way to really, like, what if you can't determine what somebody does? What if all everybody did was come and talk? Mm-hmm. Divvy up by how much somebody talks, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yo.
And
negotiate the best deal. Why are we, if we're at that point, why the fuck are we talking to each other about money? That's separated. Because it doesn't make sense to have a group pile short, everybody gets shorted. Just that's just business. And that's just like 1 + 1 = 2 to me. But we shouldn't have to go argue about some shit, because then resentment starts to set in. Like it, little things start to happen. But me, like I said, money is never an issue, because money to me means nothing.
Because money literally means nothing.
Money literally means nothing.
It has no value.
I take the personal stuff way more personal, because I've known you too long for you to play with me personally.
Yes.
I don't, money stuff, money will come and go. I will always find a way to get money. I've always told myself that. I've never lost money. I've never lost money I can't get back. And also too, I've been poor. So money doesn't move me. I've been poor. So I've money doesn't make me up anymore, because I've had none before. Yeah. My family's had none before. So why in God green earth, because I've got a little bit, it's gonna, no, that doesn't wake me up in the morning. Money, it's my passion. Yes, don't get me, but that's always why I've been able to find ways to get money. Because it doesn't move the needle for me. That's why I've always said I don't like small money, because it doesn't get me where I'm going in the long run.
Now I'm here.
That's why I'm the way I am. And that's why I've never been without for a while, because I don't think that way. I don't let money maneuver what I'm doing. I don't let money move me in the morning. No, it don't. And I'm like, yo, I'm willing to push this forward. And I'll even think about it personally. Yo, if I counted every dollar, bro, I'd be angry all day. Who cares? Because money doesn't move me. Because I know there's a big goal here. There's a bigger picture here. There's something bigger here. But the personal stuff, nah, because the personal stuff happened before any money was involved.
Yeah, and
personal stuff, me, I don't like. I don't like to be played with when it comes to stuff like that, because we're friends. Outside of this, outside of money, at the end of the day, we still got to go hang out with each other at the end of the day. And then once the friendship starts to stop, it fucks up the business. It just does.
No, it is. And I'm so, like, yeah, but I super hear you. And that is a very insightful perspective, for sure. And I guess on the flip side of that, like, if we're going through a personal problem, at least from my perspective, and it's my outlook, we can always fix that with communication. So even even if we're going through something, we're not on the same page, we're butting heads, we can always sit down, get some whiskey, get some food, and talk that through.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
But don't cross, if you cross a personal line, this shit is done.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
that's why I'm trying to get
when it comes to the money aspect, once we sign a contract, That shit can't change. And that's why I think money money more times than not ends these very talented, powerful groups, because
also everybody got to know their business though. Like at the end of the day, as your friend, I can't know your business for you. Like at the end of the day, like I said, that's why you get other people to deal with that, because yeah. I'm not negotiating your contract, my nigga. What the hell that got to do with me? Because if a brand feels like I'm more valuable, that's resentment on you. To me, that doesn't even cross my mind. Like if a brand is like, well, he does this much more, why the fuck am I paying you the same amount I'm paying him? That's the brand's decision. So now somebody's got to tell the brand, well, nah, let me take shorter to make him feel better. Like, you know, like to me, that's a crazy ass concept.
No,
that's nuts.
You wouldn't take short, but in that situation, and this is just me, like if fucking Andre Champagne came to us and said,
they're not paying us.
I'm just saying, whatever. X brand came to me and said, bro, Walt, you are the face of the company. You are a sex symbol. John is not a sex symbol. He just thinks he's one. Here's $100,000, and I'm going to pay John $10,000 because he sounds like he hates black women, right? I'm gonna take the deal, but on the back end of that, I'm gonna break you off like 25.
The difference in what you're saying,
I know your value to this,
but the difference in what you're saying is, okay, even if I were to get, let's say, if you flip roles and that happened, even if I were to get the 100,000 and somebody gets shorted, whatever, if somebody gets less, That me, John's thinking is, okay, now I have to supplement your lifestyle that you can't live, in a sense. Like, okay, I may take care of more because I'm getting paid more. Like, it's the person with the funds that funds more anyway. So, like, if I'm getting paid more and we have to upgrade equipment, I'm not going to ask you niggas to upgrade equipment. I'm going to upgrade the equipment.
Yeah, but that's not what people think, unfortunately.
I mean, that's what... Yeah, I mean, but that people, what you said, people don't think like that either.
You right?
Yeah, like what you're saying is an anomaly as well.
Okay.
That doesn't happen because you're gonna break me off on the side of you, and also you breaking me off an extra 25K on the side would anger somebody else. That would just anger the other castmate. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not that would just not solve the problem.
And this is how I would do it. And I realized at this point in my life that I am a mediator. I would sit down the podcast and be like, bro, like what would make you feel valued? You feel me? And then I would find a medium. Like, even if I have to give, even if I'm LeBron taking less of my pay cut to make the engine run.
You're taking a short. That's what I was talking. You didn't, if you are negotiating, but once again, that also involves you negotiating everybody's contract. That's just like, bro, like, yeah, you literally, that, what you're doing is, yo, I'm taking a pay cut. That means you're telling the brand, you're negotiating somebody else's contract. Yeah. I think as grown men, everybody should be able to negotiate their worth. But also, that's also the conversation to have. Hey, well, you know what, John, I trust you enough to you negotiate everybody's contract. Or Walter, you negotiate everybody's contract.
Yeah.
That's a different type of trust, mm-hmm. which for me, I don't want anybody speaking for me financially.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I'm good. I think I know enough to know what I would want. You know what I'm saying? That's a different type of trust to say, hey, if we go here, this is what they're offering us, and this is what I think whoopty will do with this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's trusting somebody as a leader. But like I said, that's a different type of conversation. Yeah. That's why you got to trust the person that's involved in front of the money. You got to trust the person in front of the money. But the personal stuff, there's a lot of shit especially if I feel like I can end this tomorrow.
I feel you.
Oh yeah, don't fuck my sister and be like, yeah, all right, well.
Obviously, that's an extreme.
Whatever, man.
Because niggas dying for that.
I'm saying, but this shit is over then. But friends and business, it's not easy. The overall point of this, the shit is not easy. It's not, you gotta have trust. You gotta have trust, and you have to be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice is the most important thing in friends and business. Sacrifice and keeping those relationships. One something that Joe mentioned was like, bro, if this shit ain't right on the outside, it's not gonna be right in here. So we gotta fix this on the outside.
Yeah.
Especially if this is a friend thing. Because niggas get together, they podcast, have known each other for 2 weeks and think it's gonna work. It's not. You don't get to 99, 98 episodes, 200 episodes without being friends with the person. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Friends and business is tough. I've watched it fail 100 times. I've been involved in shit that failed 3-4 times just because it's the expectations of the of the friends in the business. You got to know who your friends are. You got to know your personnel. Yeah. That's what it is, bro. But I hope they get it right, though. For real. Honestly, I hope they get it right.
Charlie.
I think we're on the music.
Yes, sir.
Let's get out of here. Emotional Oranges dropped a single.
Beautiful.
They're one of my favorite groups.
The performances suck.
I didn't enjoy it when I went to the tour.
It's all good.
I didn't enjoy it.
How did you like the track?
Body and Soul featuring Big Pig. I like this one. They haven't put out music in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like this one. It's always tough to really critique music in the pandemic because I feel like that would be a good rooftop outside sunny day song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I liked it. I'm excited for the project. I don't know if it's gonna be called the Juice Volume 3, but you know. I was at that last album release. I love Emotional Oranges music.
Because you're famous.
Come on now. But I love Emotional Oranges. What else came out?
We got Cardi Goes Number One.
Yeah, she gave this crazy stat on Instagram. I just didn't watch.
No, she
video.
Did. She broke a lot of records.
She broke a lot of records.
Broke a lot of records. So
yeah, that's all we got.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna dive into it, but no, just congratulations. No,
listen, if you know it, I don't remember.
Nope, she was the first woman rap artist to go platinum. Since Lauryn Hill, maybe something like that.
It's definitely not the stat, but we'll get it right next week.
Not the stat at all.
Not the stat. I promise we'll get it right next week.
Yeah, but still, congratulations, Cardi B. You have the number one song in the country again.
She's the first woman to go number one 5 different times in a year. Something like that.
I don't know about all that. But still, congratulations. Okay. She addressed the haters, which is... I love when Cardi does that. Like, bro, get off my dick, bro. I'm a successful, beautiful, talented... intellectual woman, and I'm killing this rap shit, and you niggas can't even come near me. Like, back the fuck up, shut the fuck up, and just
I have the step.
Okay, there we go.
Cardi B breaks the record as the first female rapper to have 5 number one songs on the Billboard Top 100. Up is the one that did it for her.
Okay, but that's one record she broke.
I mean, this is the most recent one that we're talking about. That she was on Instagram talking about, this is it.
Okay, and then it was something about being a single...
yeah, we talked about that too.
A rap, yeah. Still, congratulations, the record goes. Once the world open up, I know
that's
going to be twerking to it, and I'm going to just be respectfully me enjoying it, you feel me? And that's, like, it's beautiful. Like, I love to see the number of female hip-hop artists really, like, taking shit over. Like, that's powerful. That's beautiful. Fire. We got that.
What else? Justin Bieber's album sucked, so.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because it sucked. I'm telling the truth. I've really listened to this shit. And he's tricked us with that first amazing record with Daniel Caesar. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to be unbelievable. This is great. Wow, it's shit. He went like 2 for 16 from the field. Shout out to Tyler. I took that from his tweet. But yeah, he did. That's a fact. Fish. He went like 2 for 16. From, it was bad. It sucked. Wow, it was bad. And Chance, Chance is getting worse too. He really sucks.
He always did.
No, Chance, stop that.
Go back on Acid, bro.
You niggas was big Chance fans.
Acid Rap was amazing.
That's the last time he was good?
He had some features in it here, now and then.
Chance sucks. It's okay.
No, he had some features. He just...
Yo, bro, he's ass. Stop it.
Fair, because he chose the wrong route. You need trauma and pain as an artist. He went and found a beautiful woman, got married, mad happy, mad TikToks.
Yeah.
TikToks don't make good music, bro. Be sad.
Yeah, Chance sucks.
He's just too happy.
He sucks.
That's fair.
Thank you. Chances,
but he sucks and he's happy. That means the music gonna be super ass. Oh,
that's worse. I don't want to suck and be happy.
That's what I'm saying. Be sad. Yeah, make good music.
Be sad and make good music. Then at least you could like drown it in like strippers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Y'all know Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
Benny don't miss, man. I'm not gonna front. And Benny brings the best out of rappers. This is the best 2 Chainz verse I heard in a year Plug Talk.
That nigga ate that shit.
Jim went crazy on that record with French. French did, even Demon French did, all right. You know what I'm saying? But the plugs I met too, with Harry Fraud, Benny the Butcher, great project, 9 records, short, concise, no skips. I'm super biased. I don't care. Griselda, so yeah, Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
Great music.
I think that's the future of hip hop, to be honest, is you lock in with one producer. And you just bang that shit out.
I mean, that used to be hip hop though. Like that was fair. You looking at that to me. No IDs. Like that's how those producers made those names, because they would lock in with one artist, make a great amount of music, and then like, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some also tried and failed recently, so that's why people are like, when who did the Metro Boomin tape, was it Big Sean?
Yeah, but Big Sean is ass. So that
yeah, like so people try to stay away from that.
But when 21 did it, it was fire. So
of course, but yeah. So there's that. I think that's all the music that came out, right?
Then Hennessy dropped a record.
Oh yes, she did.
She did. I've not heard it yet, but it's definitely on my to do list. But the last few records she's dropped have been amazing. She's talented.
Let me not. Fuck that up.
No, get it right. I definitely want to shout her out. I just don't have the name.
Okay. Yeah, it's Not a Love Song. Hennessy came out. I've listened to it a couple times. Not a Love Song is out now. Hennessy, mm-hmm. The song sounds great.
Yeah, no.
As usual. Can't wait for this project.
Yeah, super super talented. Super. It puts me in my bag.
Yeah, it really put me in a bag.
Makes me want to drink sangria and text the ex-girl who blocked me on Venmo.
Or, like, it makes me say, hell, whoa, this is my ex-girl. Really shouldn't text me. That's what the song made me feel
It makes me want to send that text out.
But, yeah, Not a Love Song. Hennessy sounds great, as usual. Rain sent me some records, too, but I can't talk about that till it's out. And, yeah, sports. Let's run through sports real quick. LeBron's hurt.
Yep.
But he'll be back. So stop it because I'm a Lakers fan. The trade deadline, nothing special happened, of course. The Knicks, what happened? The Knicks didn't do a damn thing. The Lakers didn't do a damn thing.
No. The Heat.
I don't give a fuck.
Bro, they got LaMarcus Aldridge.
He's 76 years old.
And Victor Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo's played like shit all year.
But still, that's a solid Bam, Butler. Aladipo.
Nets in 4.
You're bugging. Nets in 6.
Yo, bro, stop it.
Bro.
And I'm a Laker fan.
Bro, you're bugging,
the Nets
bro.
Look amazing. You have to stop. At some point, we have to admit it. Stop it.
Yes, but they're going to put Jimmy Butler.
On who?
On KD. Come on, bro. Jimmy Butler can... Whatever, I'm not doing
this. You think it's 2K?
I'm not doing this. So that's fire.
No, listen, Nets in four. And I didn't want to talk about the Nets. Listen, as a huge Lakers fan, and me denying Lyle, they won't be... Let me tell you something.
I didn't tell you they're going to destroy the Lakers.
I didn't say that. That's not where I was going.
Well, I'm
going
to take
it. I think if the Lakers are healthy, the Lakers still win.
No,
but
they don't. You're bugging.
Because I don't think KD's healthy.
We got Knicks in the playoffs. That's what I want to talk about. We're in the playoffs.
Right.
Playoffs?
The playoffs, sorry.
Playoffs?
But negative. Anyway.
Made the playoffs.
The Nets look amazing. They went to the West and went 5-0.
Yeah, because they're a good ass team.
You're worried about the fucking Miami Heat with Goran Dragic? All right, man.
Bro, you're bugging, bro.
You're bugging out. But yes,
we got Mr. Ball out for the season. That's kind of...
That hurt me, man. Because I'm such
bro.
A fan, man.
Because he was hooping, bro.
He's been playing great, bro.
I really hope that he comes back and... Because he was hooping, bro.
I mean, he's still rookie of the year no matter what. There's nothing that would take rookie of the year away from him because he was the most exciting player on the basketball.
He had the youngest triple-double ever. Like,
and he had Charlotte in the playoffs.
He was hooping, bro.
Like, they were their playoff team when he's there. And like, yeah, a solid mid-seed. They haven't been near the playoffs in years.
Yeah.
So, and I think people are telling me James Harden should be MVP. And every time I watch him, I can't deny it.
He be busting ass.
With LeBron out and Embiid out and James Harden doing what he's doing, bro, it's worked out. We've all been wrong. James Harden is tremendous. And yeah.
And that's a sign. Women, if you keep a nigga happy, he'll give you the world. But you keep lying to him, taking trips to Atlanta and not telling him, he's going to play like he did in Houston.
Yeah.
Keep a nigga happy, he'll give you the world.
Yeah.
Because that nigga hooping, bro.
Going crazy.
And he's happy. He's happy.
Yes, he is.
He's with the strippers. In Brooklyn.
Slutting it out. Well, allegedly.
Allegedly. Fair.
I think that's all we got for sports, man. And I think that's all we got. Good episode, Walt. Good job.
Yes, sir.
Did a really good job, man. All right. I think that's all we got. My closing words are... Bring these back. Something especially that hit me hard this week. It's better to do two things at 100% as opposed to doing six things at 50%. Take your time. Focus on your mental health. Get yourself right. Don't burn yourself out. All right? And that's really it. Mm-hmm. See you guys next week at episode 99.
Facts.
Yep.
We have something very special for 100.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to reiterate it. We always say it, but we love you. We appreciate you. DM John. He's trying to find love. Don't DM me. I've had love and I lost it.
oh, look at me laughing.
You're sick.
So sad.
It's okay. It taught me a lot. But well, also...
Don't DM me, like, for real.
No. Don't DM me. DM John. But also, I've realized this past couple of weeks that your end goal should not be a dollar amount. It should not be the money. First of all, go follow the Rofanto, shop the Rofanto. But for a long time, that was the end goal to me. And I realize now that I've removed that goal and just have focused on building the brand, how much quickly the brand has magnified. So whatever you're doing, whatever your craft is, do not make it a dollar amount. Make it the process or expanding the brand or connecting, whatever it is. You should not be getting up every day and busting your ass for a specific dollar amount. Money is not real. The exchange of money is what is the real part of it, but the actual money is not real. So that should not be your end goal. And I think whatever you're doing, if you love it, once you take out the dollar component, the money will come in tenfold once you do that. So that's what I've realized. Again, shop the Rofanto, fire as Fanto, but also in your craft and in your passion, stop chasing money and chase the experience, chase the brand, and success will follow. So follow, like, share. We love you. We'll see you next week. And again, episode 100, 2 weeks, very special.
Yep,
top secret.
Yep. See you guys next week. Thank you, guys. And that's it. The outro.